Very good. We are recording. Senator, thank you for coming in.
Roger, always great to be in Pitkin County. We're looking forward to enjoying the out-of-doors while we're here today. And also, I'm campaigning hard. The election's only 100 days away. My mission is to protect a very special way of life we have in Colorado as a United States senator.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about a lot of this stuff that you're facing here in this campaign. Some observers have called this a national race. Yours is one of a handful of Senate seats that could decide which party controls the Senate going forward. Here's a quote from the Denver Post's political reporter, Lynn Bartles, who I know you know. She says, quote, "It's weird to me because it kind of feels like what used to be our race is now such a national race. It's almost like the national U.S. Senate race that happens to be in Colorado." Is that what's happening, do you think?
What I'm focused on is letting the people of Colorado know what I've accomplished on their behalf over the last 6 years and what I will do when I'm rehired in November. And if the national pundits want to take a look at Colorado and comment, good for them. But I'm focused on continuing to serve this state. I'm focused on making sure the economy continues to grow so the middle class can have every opportunity possible. I'm focused on making sure we recover from the floods last fall. I'm focused on ensuring that we can respond to wildfires and prevent wildfires going forward. And when I think about the West Slope, I'm focused on ensuring that we protect Thompson Divide and that we set aside some additional wilderness and protected lands because they're so important to our economy and our way of life. And I'll let the national pundits comment as much as they want, but in the end, this is all about Colorado.
Well, you know, with all this attention, you're in a tight race. And what I'm wondering is what matters to Colorado? And for the last couple weeks, it's been this back and forth about abortion and personhood and stuff. Is that what really matters to Colorado residents, or is there something else? Is that a distraction?
What matters to Coloradans is that we protect our special way of life. And it starts with ensuring that our economy is strong and that there's broad opportunity for every Coloradan. The reason I have focused in part on personhood and women's reproductive rights is because women are more than half the workforce. Women should be empowered and respected to make their own health care decisions. And that, so there's a broader theme here. I believe that the decisions women make about when to work, when to bear children, when to start a family are up to them, not up to the government, not up to judges, and certainly not up to politicians. And it's a fundamental difference between Congressman Gardner and myself.
A lot of polling out there, as you know. I'm sure you're doing some of your own. This week, the Democratic Party of Colorado, through what is called the House Majority Project, issued a poll under the headline, quote, "Democrats are losing Colorado." And they were showing everything very, very tight. Now, this was, of course, above a donate now button. But how do you see the race?
I'm chuckling. Yeah. The only poll that matters, as the saying goes, is the one on Election Day. Election Day is November 4th this year. My focus is on getting out the vote. And my focus is on making the case to all of the various communities across Colorado that their vote is their voice, that this is a crucial election. If you want to keep Colorado moving forward in the ways I've described, then people ought to get out and vote for me. They ought to get out and vote for Governor Hickenlooper. They ought to get out and vote for Democrats up and down the ticket. We're focused on creating economic opportunity. We're focused on protecting our way of life. We're focused on protecting our civil liberties. That's why I've taken on government spying. I'm going to continue doing that. We can be safe, but we can also protect our privacy. At the heart of our freedoms, Roger, is the freedom to be left alone, and then a single word for that is privacy.
You're raising all these great issues. I want to circle back around to some of them. But by several measures, the economy is improving, both here and nationally. Unemployment is back to where it was pre-recession. In the second quarter of this year, in Colorado, 24,000 new businesses registered. The Justice Department is starting to bring those responsible for the recession to trial in some cases and to settlements in others. Wall Street is up. Real estate here in the Valley has turned a corner. This should all be great news for Democrats.
It should be great news for Colorado, and it is. There's more to do, though, and you're right. The unemployment rate is down to 5.5%. We see housing starts coming back. But there's more we should do. Let me give you a short list. We ought to raise the minimum wage. We ought to ensure that the Paycheck Fairness Act passes. That would pay women the same as men are paid for doing the same job. Imagine that concept. Let's pass the Bring Our Jobs Home Act, which would provide incentives for companies that bring jobs back from overseas rather than giving tax breaks to companies that send jobs overseas. And we ought to ensure that college is affordable. There's too much college debt out there. But in the end, this is all focused on the middle class and working Americans who are what make our country great and make our state great.
Control and regulation of oil and gas exploration and especially hydraulic fracturing, also known as fracking, is front and center right now in Colorado. There's going to be some ballot initiatives likely. How does the outcome of that debate affect your chances in your race?
Yeah, there's a lot of discussion about this important debate we're having about hydraulic fracturing and when and where we drill for oil and gas. Colorado has an important role to play. I think we have a special role to play. We're a best of the above energy state. We've got a very robust renewable energy sector. I've led the way on that, starting with Amendment 37, which set a high standard for renewable energy production, and we're meeting it. We're the second highest renewable electricity standard in the country. We have the National Renewable Energy Lab in Golden. We're promoting energy efficiency, and we're also developing natural gas reservoirs. And natural gas is the cleanest fossil fuel. It'll play a real role as we move forward, and we work to bring down carbon emissions. But we've got to do it properly. We've got to do it safely. And I'm counting on Coloradans to find that common ground. I am on the record as saying the ballot initiatives that are proposed, I think, are clumsy tools through which to protect jobs but protect the environment. There are a lot of us who are still sitting at the table. We're going to find a way forward the way Coloradans do to, again, protect jobs, protect the environment, protect communities. We can show the country the Colorado way.
You mentioned the Thompson Divide early when we started. That's a huge issue, as you know, in the Roaring Fork Valley. Some people here are asking, aren't there just some places on Earth where we shouldn't be drilling for oil?
There are. And we want to be clear about that. In Colorado, we have been. This is the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act is upon us. One of the most seminal and important steps we took as a nation. You think we're an example for the world in protecting certain areas for posterity. Why? Because it's the ultimate form of enlightened self-interest. In those wilderness areas, you protect air quality, water quality, wildlife, and we're increasingly seeing the important economic ramifications and economic opportunities that wilderness present. I'm pushing now to create some additional wilderness along the Browns Canyon Corridor in the Arkansas. We're going to get a new national monument over there. If I have anything to say about it, I've introduced the legislation ahead of hearing this week. And we will, I wanted your listeners to know, we will protect the Thompson Divide. It is a unique area. The values that it provides to us right now are greater than if we were to drill for oil and gas in the Thompson Divide.
Is there a legislative solution to the Thompson Divide?
There are legislative measures that Senator Bennett and I have introduced. They will be a part of the solution. And again, I'm confident that Coloradans involved from all the different points of view when it comes to Thompson Divide can find a way forward whereby the existing leases are set aside and those who hold those leases are compensated in a fair manner.
Immigration is on the national radar. It sort of gets shunted aside as you're dealing with all these issues we're talking about. But what's your solution to these children who are being forced north by violence in their country?
Let me talk about the children, and then I'll talk more broadly about the need for immigration reform. These children are refugees. They're scared. They have come north because they felt they had no other option. Let's find a way to treat them in a humanitarian fashion. I support giving the president more resources to take care of these children, but let's not let them become puppets in a political debate. Let's not let them be used in ways that are, frankly, quite objectionable. What the crisis shows us is the need for comprehensive immigration reform. The Senate passed a comprehensive bill with close to 70 votes. The House should take it up. The House would pass it if they opened up the debate, if they allowed every House member to vote on it. We would fix a system that's broken. We would provide greater border security resources. We'd give employers the tools to know who they're hiring. And we'd provide a pathway for legal status to those people who are here. All the studies, Roger, show we would lift GDP, we would bring down the deficit, we would create an economic opportunity that we're missing right now. After all, America is a land of immigrants.
I want to talk about foreign policy for a second. Obviously, there's a ceasefire at the moment in Israel and Gaza, but is Israel's current operation against Hamas in Gaza, is that justified?
Israel has a right, as any sovereign nation does, to defend itself. The actions of Hamas are intolerable and objectionable. The Palestinian people are being held hostage by the Hamas government we have to stay involved in the region. I'm pleased is not quite the right word, but I'm heartened, I guess I would say, that we now have a ceasefire. We've got to do everything possible, keep that ceasefire in place, bring people of goodwill to the table. How do we create more economic opportunity in Gaza? How do we open up Gaza? But at the same time, Israel has every right to defend itself.
Attorney General Eric Holder told ABC News, I believe just yesterday, that, quote, he has extreme concern about the current events in Iraq and Syria, that the violence there could begin to bring a new round of terrorist attacks to the West, particularly Europe and the U.S. What are the options of the U.S. right now?
Yeah, I sit on the Armed Services and Intelligence Committees. I receive reports almost every day. You can see my hair color suggests.
So it is as frightening as
the seriousness of the situation. Yeah. Here's how I see it. ISIS is a true threat, and I've been very concerned about what's been happening in Syria and Iraq. I'm also deeply concerned that the Iraqi military hasn't stood up to the responsibilities that they have. However, we're not going to put more troops back into Iraq. The Iraqis and the people in that region are going to have to find a way forward. Having said that, we will stay involved. We will stay engaged. We do have a stake in what happens in that part of the world. There are many other things we can do, including pursuing more energy security, Roger, that would give us even more leverage in the region. If we're not dependent on the oil that comes from the Middle East, then we can have an even broader reach, and we can play an even more honest broker-like role in the Middle East as they go through this very difficult time as those countries attempt to liberalize economically and when it comes to democratic political systems.
So one last question, Adam. I know he's taking good care of you. When ISIS sort of burst onto the scene, to many people it appeared that way, there were some who said, you know, General Colin Powell said in 2003, if you break it, you own it.
Yes.
Are we now seeing that come true?
Some of your listeners may know that in 2002, I passionately said, let's not invade Iraq. Let's finish the job in Afghanistan. Let's be tough, but let's be smart. My point of view didn't carry the day. Once we went into Iraq, I had a responsibility to do my best to help us understand how to rebuild Iraq and how to help that region move in a progressive way. We now see, I think, the results of an ill-formed invasion strategy. But we're where we are. So we, again, must stay involved. We must use every tool at our disposal, including what I call the smart suite of power tools. So that's diplomacy, economic aid, military-to-military connections. In our own example, one of the reasons I pushed really hard for us to stand up for our civil liberties and to show the world that you can be a democratic, peaceful country is that when the world sees us hew to our own principles, then they're more likely to say, you know, the Americans have it right. We ought to follow their example.
One more question, Adam, I swear. We live in a fishbowl, don't we? Can we live in a fishbowl and still have privacy?
We can. It's going to take focus. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take diligence. But we can use technology to connect all of us, but we can also use technology to protect our privacy. None of us want to live in the world that Orwell predicted of 1984, his prescient novel. But it will take, frankly, leaders like me and citizens like you and your listeners to say enough is enough. We can find the balance. I'm reminded Ben Franklin famously said, a society that would trade essential liberties for short-term security deserves neither. His words still ring true today.
Senator, thank you.
Roger, great to be with you.